Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe live, SEC Media Days, Digital Drive, Radio Row, all of our coverage presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. We appreciate Commissioner Greg Sankey for joining us in the last segment. We'll react to some of the things that he had to say. But right now, we talked to Mr. College Football. One of our favorites, Tony Barnhart, has been nice enough to join us. Tony, how the heck are you?
I am doing great, guys. Another SEC season. Talking about football, I'm having a blast.
Yeah, beats working, right?
It's not beats working for a living. Like my wife said, it's not like you got a real job or anything like that. So, yeah.
So this is, we were just kind of discussing this, but 50 years yep. Of covering the SEC, this is, I guess, your last year working, as you put it, but I have a feeling we might see you around from time to time.
Well, my wife, I'm going to do a memory tour of the SEC and gather memories for a book that I'm working on. And I told my wife, she wants to call it the farewell tour. I said, darling, I'm not dying. Okay. I'm just stepping away from the daily grind of the last 50 years to do some things I want to do. And I'm excited about it. But yeah, Mrs. Barnhart's got big plans for me. So.
And I know that obviously the Dodd Trophy is something that mm-hmm. is near and dear to you, and that is the watch list out yet? Or
the watch list is out, and all the usual suspects yep. are on it. But thanks for asking about the Dodd Award. This is my 15th year on the board of directors of the Bobby Dodd Foundation. Coach Bobby Dodd, the great legendary coach at Georgia Tech, and the award. There's a lot of great national Coach of the Year awards. A lot of them out there, but The Dodd Trophy is different in the respect that it takes into account not only winning, but it takes into account community service, academics, and all. You know, what do you do? What do the players do? What do the coaches do in the community? And I'll give you an example. We sat down to pick our winner this year, and we've got tons of metrics and all this. It's great, but we ended up picking Marcus Freeman, the head football coach at Notre yeah. Dame. And just what an impressive guy he is, and it was a great choice. The other thing that makes the award different is, you know, we don't have a banquet in Atlanta and get you to come to Atlanta and give you the award. No, we go to you. And yeah. So we took a 15-person delegation to Notre Dame, had an event there, and it was special. So the Dodd Trophy, it's a lot more than wins, losses. It's about scholarship, leadership, integrity are the three pillars of the award. And I get asked to do a lot of this stuff, and this is one of the few I lend my name to, and I'm proud to be a part of it.
We're talking to Tony Barnhart. Where did Mr. College Football moniker come from?
I can take absolutely no credit for that whatsoever. This is in the 80s when I went to work for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution. We didn't have the internet. We certainly didn't have a website.
Right.
They started building the website for the AJC, and the editor who was building it come to me and says, "Hey, Tony, we're getting ready to start our online product, and we want you to write a blog." I said, "Man, that's great. What's a blog?" And they explained to me what it was. I said, "Oh, I get it. You want me to write something online to get people arguing amongst themselves." I said, "That's exactly it." I said, "I can do that."
Yes.
I said, "As a matter of fact, we're going to give it a name. We're going to call it Mr. College Football." I said, "That is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. How cheesy is that?" And they looked at me and said, "Yeah, but cheesy works on the internet."
It does, right?
So, and it started and it caught on. And after 25 years with the AJC, I left and I said, "I'm sorry, I ain't giving it back."
So, right.
What's funny, he and I were sitting down earlier eating, because we like to do that, and I said, you know, the columnists, the sports columnists, used to be like the most powerful person in a city because of, you know, whatever opinions they would have. And then, you know, sports talk radio kind of started and took off, and people would argue on that. I mean, I guess blogs, it's kind of advanced from that, right?
Advanced from that. Yeah, we certainly had those in Atlanta, Furman Bisher.
Yeah.
Nothing happened in this town without, from a sports standpoint, nothing happened in this town without Furman Bisher's doing a little check mark. So, yeah, it's the blog is what you have a little bit more freedom in a blog. People have always asked me about Mr. College Football, and they said, "What an arrogant thing to do." I said, I don't blame me.
Right?
But I am smart enough to know, and I'm not a lawyer, but I did raise one, and I asked my daughter, I said, "Should I keep it?" She said, "Absolutely, Dad. It's you." "Has anybody else ever been Mr. College Football?" I said, Not to my knowledge. He said, well, you're taking it with you. So
that's great. When Chase and I talked about the guest, he said, hey, we got Mr. College Football on Wednesday. I was like, Tony Barnhart. So it wasn't like we had, like, who is that?
Who is that dude?
It's the moniker is so well known, and it's great. And everything that you've done for college football, we love. Let me ask you this. 50 years of doing this, who do you miss? What coach or player do you miss that's no longer here?
Well, he's still here, but he's not coaching, and that would be Steve Spurrier. What's your favorite Steve Spurrier story? And I tell him this story. He's working at South Carolina, which is – I was there the day he took the job at South Carolina. I am standing to Pat Dooley, the columnist of the Gainesville Sun in Florida, and he and I are standing next to each other with Spurrier wearing a Gamecock tie and being introduced. And I turned to Dooley. I said, Dooley, I will never, never get over this. This is unbelievable. But when he was at South Carolina – what I would do with Coach Spurrier, I'd occasionally just call him up, see if he'd say anything, just to chat and all that. And I called him like 2 weeks before signing day when he was at South Carolina. And I said, just checking in with you, Coach, how you doing? He said, hey, Tony, I'll tell you what. He said, I am getting ready to do something I never did when I was at Florida. I said, what is that, Coach? He said, I am going to sign some players from the state of Alabama. I said, really? He said, yeah, when I was at Florida, I never could sign a player from Alabama. He said, now, later on, we found out the scholarships that Alabama was given was worth a lot more than our scholarships. And I said, Coach, that's pretty good. Can I write that? He went, yeah, write that. You don't have that now.
No, so. You don't. And he made news this week or last week about the Arch Manning. Well, he's not done anything. And I love it. I love that.
That is great. I just love it. He said, well, if he was so doggone good, wouldn't they put him in? The other guy's a seventh-round draft choice, you know? So I'm going to be – well, as part of my tour, my memory tour – our wives, his wife and my wife, are best buddies.
Wow.
And they are having a reception for us at Spurrier's Gridiron Grill in Gainesville, Florida.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to celebrate 50 years of doing this, and he's going to celebrate 80 years of being on the planet Earth.
Oh, watch him hand you a bill, though, at this time.
I have no doubt about that. I know I'm picking up this check. This is my deal.
Oh, yes. I love it.
Oh, that is fantastic. We're talking to Tony Barnhart. So looking at kind of the now, you've seen this event grow from probably being nothing to, you know, it's 4 days of just go, go, go. Yeah. I don't know what day it is anymore. But what's kind of your take on some of the agendas that the coaches have? You know, Spurrier always had his, or Fulmer had his. That hadn't changed. So what's kind of your view of how the coach handles things now?
Well, the coaches are all want to know about scheduling. Okay, because everybody, other than the coaches, everybody would love to go to 9 conference games, because who doesn't want more SEC football?
Sure.
Okay, they look back to the COVID year when we had 10 SEC games, and people absolutely loved it. Yeah. So I think everybody wants to do that, but the coaches don't want, in their haste to do it and make more money, which is, you know, somebody told me the other day, the answer is money. I don't know what the question is, but the answer is money. And so the coaches don't want to get overscheduled, because we're talking about job security. So I think they're keeping their fingers. They use these meetings and the meetings down in Destin. They use the meetings down in Destin this year. They were as outspoken as I've ever heard those guys. They wanted no part of a 9-game conference schedule. They want no part of that. But they would like the format that gives the SEC the best chance to get 5 or 6 teams in, the 5-11 model. They do want that. Commissioner Sankey laid it out for them. So they've still got their agendas, no question.
There's going to be a lot of arguing about that going forward. Tony Barnhart's with us, Mr. College Football, in your 50 years. I love the history of the SEC. I love talking about it, people like you. In your years, who is the one athlete that took your breath away?
In my life, I have called home twice to say, I saw somebody today that I've never seen before. 1980, Herschel Walker. The first time I saw Herschel Walker play in person, I called home. I said, this guy is different.
Nice.
He is special. He's special. The other person I called home for was Michael Jordan. I saw Michael Jordan play as a freshman at North Carolina, because I lived in North Carolina at the time, and saw him play a complete game, and I said, this guy is different. He is just better. than everybody else. But those two, those are two guys that really changed my perspective for good.
What, yeah. Where was the first time you saw Herschel? Because we were talking the other day with Buck Ballou about Herschel running over Bill Bates in Neyland Stadium, and that kind of put him in that moment. And we saw Herschel. What, do you remember where it was?
Texas A&M. They played the week after they played. They played Tennessee and beat Tennessee in Knoxville. And there was a run there where the Texas A&M defenders had the angle on Herschel and he just ran away from them.
I love that.
I mean, when they got there, Herschel was supposed to be there when they got there, but Herschel was that way. And I remember Buck telling me the story. They're going up and down after Herschel. And also there was a run in that game. We ran over like four people to score. So he had the speed and the power. And Buck tells me the story of him going up and down the sidelines talking to the offense, and they're going, oh, my goodness, what have we got here?
Yes.
And they knew, Buck knew at the time, this guy. Well, Georgia went into the 1980 season knowing that all the pieces were there except running back. They did not have a Georgia-style running back. And they had a bunch of good running backs there. But when Herschel did what he did, they said, this guy can lift us on his back and take us all the way. And that's what happened.
It's funny because you talk about – Chase and I are talking about Alabama's the same way this year. Loaded, they don't know who the quarterback is.
Right.
They figure that out. Oh, baby.
Yeah. I think Alabama's going to have a big bounce back here. I mean, there was no way that Kalen DeBoer was going to come in and this transition was going to be seamless. We all know better than that.
Right.
Whoever followed Nick Saban was going to have, he was going to be holding on for dear life. That's just a fact. And now, second year, he's got his offensive coordinator back in the fold and Ryan Grubb, which is a real big deal. I was on campus and they said, is it really a big deal that he's got Ryan Grubb back as his OC? It's a real, really big deal. And so I think they're going to have got to go to Athens,
You
know, going to have to play an SEC schedule. Florida State is going to be interesting because Florida, talk about a team with their backs to the wall. Florida State, after they fell apart completely after the undefeated season.
Yeah.
So I'm anxious to see how Alabama plays in that game. I think I'm pretty sure they're going to win. But it's going to be Kalen DeBoer is too good of a football coach to do that. And, oh, by the way, they won 9 games. It wasn't like it was awful.
Right.
You know.
Well, and I think some Bama fans are holding on to the – didn't Saban win, was it, 8 or 9 his first year? So it's like, oh, you know, just let him get comfortable and he'll be there. Tony Barnhart is with us here on the Chasing Big Joe show. How do you view Vanderbilt?
Yeah,
because they've come a long way from, you know, Woody Ball and all those things in the 90s, and I think Clark Lee, we have seen him do a really nice job by developing this team and obviously getting Diego Pavia.
Clark Lee had the courage to do what very few coaches would do, and that's to look at his roster honestly, dispassionately, and say, we're not good enough. We're not big enough. We're not fast enough. We're not talented enough. So we need to get older. That's number one. And they did that by picking up the right people. We got to do something that makes us dynamic and not predictable in offense. So not only did they go get Diego Pavia, they got his head coach and they got his offensive coordinator, and they all came in together. There's no learning curve whatsoever. That was a big deal. And the fact that he had the courage to mine the transfer portal to get stronger, to get older, he did that. And but the problem is this: it's great that Diego Pavia is coming back, but this year, these defensive coordinators are sitting there with their head coach, and the head coach is telling the defensive coordinator, when we play Vanderbilt, if these guys over here can beat us, we're going to have to live with it. Pavia is not going to beat us. They're going to have to find something else to do, but we're not going to let that guy beat us.
When's the last time you said that about a Vanderbilt quarterback?
Probably never. probably never.
Not even Cutler.
Yeah.
I mean, and Cutler was pretty good. Tony, thanks so much for doing this. Where can people learn more about the Dodd Trophy?
Go to DoddTrophy.com. And just do a search on the Bobby Dodd Coach. It's really the Dodd Trophy, and you'll find all the information there. Scholarship, leadership, integrity. That's what it's built on. And that's why it's so special.
Always enjoy these chats with you. Enjoy the tour and the memory tour, and we look forward to the book.
All right, guys. Thanks.
Thank you. Tony Barnhart joining us here on Radio Row at SEC Media Days, presented by Brewhouse South in Cool Springs. We will have more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you. Thank you.